Good morning. It's 9:12. We will begin our city council briefing, and I will call the meeting to order for Wednesday, October 3rd, 2018. Welcome everybody. Thank you. If everybody can just take their seats, I appreciate it. We will begin with our invocation, and then we'll have a Pledge of Allegiance. I'll lead it. And our invocator this morning is Pastor John Bauer, who's the lead pastor of Normandy Church in Lake Highlands in Mr. McGue's district. In 2011, he founded the Normandy Church with friends and family. Pastor Bauer attended Baylor and is currently pursuing his master's at Fuller Seminary. He and his wife, Casey, have three sons, Jude, Leon, and Felix, and also had the joy of fostering 10 children. Thank you for being a foster parent. All rise.
Good morning, everyone. Mayor, council members, thank you so much for the honor of praying with you and for you for the good of our city. Mr. Mayor, I want to honor you for your time served, your faithful service to the city. It means a ton. Thank you so much. Join me in prayer. Father, who fills the heavens, we hallow your name today. Father, we ask that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in our great city as it is in heaven. Father, I pray that you would give our council members and our mayor wisdom, understanding, and knowledge for how best to steward this city. And Jesus, I just say that it's been a hell of a year. It's been hard. And we ask that you would heal our city. We ask that you would heal the hearts that have been hurt by domestic violence and abuse and all other sorts of things, Lord. We just ask for your help, Lord. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Please join me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We've got a couple of important presentations this morning before we get started. And the first one is Councilwoman Gates will be reading a proclamation. Ms. Gates. Well, that's what I just said.
Thank you, Mayor and Council, for letting us read this proclamation every year and for your support of ending this terrible battle we have against domestic violence. I'm going to begin. One, I want to just kind of from my heart thank the mayor for putting me in this position 6 years ago. I was hoping I'd have other female council members to pass it on to. Ms. Grayson has championed this in the past in her first term, and I've worked alongside Tiffany Young for a while. But right now, Ms. Grayson and I are the only two women council members, and we've both had this responsibility and this job to be able to lead this task force. But you have taken, Mayor, this discussion and this championship of a city that we're going to end domestic violence to a different level with getting the men involved and recognizing that this is not a women's issue, but the men need to stand up and say, not in our city, not in our homes, not in our communities, not on the golf courses or wherever men are together, that they're going to stand up against domestic violence. And thank you, my fellow colleagues around this, because you're not only wearing purple, but you talk about it, and I think you all stand up against domestic violence. So I think Ms. Grayson and I can say we feel that. We feel the support of our male colleagues, and we appreciate you championing this alongside of us. And standing up against domestic violence. I'm surrounded here today by a lot of our task force members. I have Ophelia Green. If you want to just stand up, all of you that are here today, I wrote down those of you who I saw when we walked in from Annie's Gift. And we also have Amy Riddings. We have Jan Langbein from Genesis. We have Paige Flink from Family Place. Vanessa Jimenez from the City Attorney's Office. And I think we have a few others that have walked in that I don't have your names written down. But I thank you all for being here and for you guys are the real, these are the real champions. I just get to coordinate efforts. And I've got Kylie Hawks, the DPD, Lieutenant Kylie Hawks, who leads this division for us and is a real champion. And I love getting to work with her. We have judges over the courthouse that aren't here today. We have a DA in Faith Johnson that works alongside of us. And then the real heroes are all these advocates that are on, literally on the streets, boots on the ground, day after day, having a voice for these women. I think we're a time in society right now where women have a large voice, and we hear it. But unfortunately, too many women that are victims of domestic violence are behind closed doors, still scared, still needing an outlet, and are suffering from this kind of abuse, and they don't have a voice. And these are the women that do give those victims a voice on every day. So thank you, advocates, for being here today. And with that, I'm going to read our proclamation. Whereas Domestic Violence Awareness Month started in 1981 as a way to connect to advocates across the nation, we are working to end violence against women and their children. Whereas Domestic Violence Awareness Month has evolved to shine a light on this often silent crime that impacts men, women, and children in Dallas every day and has devastating effects on its victims. Whereas the city remains diligent in our efforts to serve victims of this horrific crime, and we continue to work together as one community against domestic violence. And whereas the city recognizes the specialized collaborative efforts of the police department, the courts, the prosecution offices that make the criminal justice system responsive to victims and holds abusers accountable. Whereas we extend our deep appreciation to the shelters, the counselors, the healthcare professionals, schools, and other committed individuals and organizations for their advocacy and dedication to assisting victims of domestic violence. Now, therefore, I, Jennifer Gates, from Michael Rollins, our mayor of City of Dallas, on behalf of our entire council, proclaim this Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So, thank you all. I'm going to ask the advocates to come forward and then as a council so we could take a photo. And then I want everybody here today is welcome to attend our breakfast at the end of this month. I think the date is October 26th. And we will be sharing our metrics that we have been accumulating for the last 4 years, as well as making some announcements about what we're doing here in our municipal courts. So, and an update on the gun surrender program that we're working collaboratively with the DA's office and sheriff's department. And so, thank you, Diane.
You want to
all right, everybody come forward. Yes. Thanks.
I didn't have it.
That was the one thing I asked them to do.
Hey, thank you. I didn't see you. I was like, my girlfriend.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Gates. I want us to understand how important this effort is by everybody in your task force, everybody at the police department, everybody at the courthouse, everybody with the DA's office. When we don't take action, people like Donna Alexander get killed. This has been a heavy time for us in this country on women's issues, and we have rallying around women to take a new stand out there. For too long, women have been afraid for their lives, not just their reputations, but for their lives. That's unacceptable, and I think this effort is very important. I'm saddened with Ms. Alexander's murder, and it's what happens when somebody hits somebody, then they choke them, and then they kill them. And that's why we've got to stop this at the very root of it. So thank you, Ms. Gates, for your leadership with that. Ms. Grayson, Mr. Narvaez, you have proclamation as well, or recognition, celebration.
Celebration. So before we get started, though, I just want to thank Ms. Gates, who I think has done a wonderful job with this issue for 6 years now. And thank you, too, Mayor.
Thank you.
Until every woman and everybody feels safe in their own home, we're going to continue to grapple with this problem. But we're going to switch to something happier now. So Mr. Narvaez and I are having a celebration this morning, and we're celebrating that this past Monday, October 1st, Dallas Animal Services celebrated their one-year anniversary of becoming their own standalone department. And we have some cute, cute guests this morning. How cute are these? Aww. The last time Ed brought, be careful for your tie. It's shredded, Ed's tie.
Oh, yeah, good.
All right, are we going She's scared.
No.
All right. Can we keep talking?
So,
please.
You're just gonna have to wait a moment. Okay, so how cute are these animals? So here's some of the things we're celebrating in this one-year anniversary. Dallas Animal Services has, over the last year, improved public safety by increasing its intake of loose dogs by 14% over the previous fiscal year. And that's 2,000 more loose dogs taken off the streets of Dallas to help keep the community safe. And simultaneously, at the same time that they have been taking more loose dogs off the street, DAS has improved its live release rate for dogs and cats from 75% in FY 2017 to 81% in FY 2018. And they expect to increase that number in 2019. So they're making steady progress. So with that goal in mind, we'd like to give a reminder to all citizens and city council members that adorable animals like these, look at these dogs and cats, they can be adopted 7 days a week at the main shelter, which is 1818 Northwest Moreland. Are you stealing my thunder? Queenie is stealing my thunder here. Okay. So now, okay, here's the message, folks. You can adopt these wonderful dogs and cats 7 days a week at the main shelter, which is 1818 Northwest Moreland, and also at the in-store location in the PetSmart at 16821 North Coit Road in Dallas. And that's Coit almost in Plano, but it's a very active adoption center. And so Mr. Narvaez is going to continue.
Thank you, Mr. Narvaez. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Hearing everything Ms. Grayson has said, you know, in the event that adoption isn't your thing, and I think that Puppy has something to say.
She's stealing your thunder too,
that's
Mr.
Right.
Narvaez.
She's agreeing with everything Ms. Grayson said, and she's about to agree with everything I'm saying. So in the event that you can't adopt, what you can do is commit to fostering out of our program. DAS needs dog and cat foster parents. With this temporary option, you choose how long you'd like to commit to fostering a DAS dog or cat. Minimum commitments are as short as 2 weeks. Fostering any size dog or cat is appreciated, with large dog fosters being the most helpful to our shelter and mission during the fall and winter months. Simply put, fostering dogs and cats saves lives. Caregivers allow the animal to relax out of a shelter environment and often allow the animal to network to a different group of citizens and potential adopters. You can sign up today by emailing your interest in fostering to dasfoster@dallascityhall.com. That is dasfoster@dallascityhall.com. Dallas Animal Services and the City of Dallas, we appreciate all of your support. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Ms. Grayson. And thank you to all of our employees from Dallas Animal Services, yes, and to all of our friends that came in to visit us today, our four-legged friends. And we hope every one of them finds a home today. Thank you.
Right. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Mr. Narvaez. Thank you so much. With that, we will take our morning speakers.
Thank you, and good morning. This morning, your first five registered speakers will be Sarah Lamb, Elizabeth Blackburn, Melanie Van Lendingham, David Chin, and Leroy Pena. I'll recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council shall be removed from the room. Individuals are given 3 minutes to speak. You notice the time at the monitor in front of you. When your time is up, please stop. Address your comments to Mayor Rawlings only. Also, if you have any handouts, go ahead and hand it to the officer to my right, as it will affect your speaking time. Your first speaker, Sarah Lamb.
My name is Sarah Lamb, and I live at 6519 Gaston Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75214. I reside in District 9. I have brought supporters with me today, if you could stand. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today. I'm here to talk about the Garland-Gaston-Grand Intersection Redesign Project, located southeast of White Rock Lake in East Dallas. Please refer to image one provided for the map of the area. I represent the community group Lakewood Citizens for Responsible Traffic. The City of Dallas and the Texas Department of Transportation have been working together to redesign the dangerous intersection where State Highway 78 meets Gaston Avenue. State Highway 78 is also referred to as Garland Grand. This project is particularly challenging because it sits at the junction of three city council districts, 9, 14, and 2, and it also touches two state representative districts and two state senate districts. We've engaged all of these elected officials. Through a flawed public process, TxDOT has arrived at what they call a community preferred plan and is referred to as option 2. I am here today to say that this is not a community preferred plan and ask that the City of Dallas rescind their support for option two until a true preferred plan can be established. Now I will tell you why. The public has pushed back on option two since December of 2016. That is 2 years. There have been only 4 public meetings and no plan options have been considered except for option two since the second meeting. Despite repeated public calls to consider benefits of other options, specifically the benefits of option one, the public objects to option two for the following reasons. One, at TxDOT's admission, option two does not consider any of the community impacts beyond the limited boundaries of the intersection. Two, option two realigns the state highway onto a residential street which disproportionately burdens Gaston Avenue. Three, option two removes a straight alignment of Garland and Grand and thereby impedes direct access to I-30, South Dallas, and downtown. Four, option two removes a full lane of traffic from Garland Road to Grand Avenue through the intersection, directing tens of thousands of cars, drivers onto a smaller 4-lane Gaston Avenue rather than providing a balance of options that we have today. For these reasons, we created a change.org petition that was signed by over 600 neighbors opposing option two and calling for a more standard intersection design. This petition was submitted to TxDOT as part of their public comment period and was ignored. Along with the voices of thousands of the community members, this forced neighbors to resort to self-funding and distributing hundreds of yard signs and thousands of mailers to oppose option two. It is overwhelmingly clear that option two is not a community preferred plan. Lakewood Citizens for Responsible Traffic supports TxDOT's option one, strongly opposes option two. I ask that the City of Dallas listen to its citizens and rescind city support for option two until a true preferred plan can be established. Thank you.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Blackburn.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Blackburn. Thank you so much for having me here today. My address is 6629 Gaston Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75214. I also live in District 9. I also represent the Lakewood Citizens for Responsible Traffic and would like to provide you all with some facts related to the very important Garland-Grand-Gaston intersection project that Sarah just introduced. We also have supporters here today. If you guys want to stand and remain standing, that'd be great. As you can see from image one that we provided, Gaston Avenue is a 4-lane, undivided neighborhood street that passes hundreds of single-family homes through 4 historic districts, the historic Lakewood Shopping Center, multiple neighborhoods, and through Baylor Medical Center. Gaston Avenue is designated as a community collector on the city's thoroughfare plan, and it is currently severely over capacity. Garland Grand is also State Highway 78. It is designated as a principal arterial on the thoroughfare plan. This is 2 classifications higher than Gaston Avenue. And it serves as an important link for local traffic and for traffic from far northeast suburbs to I-30, South Dallas, and downtown. Garland Grand is 6 lanes divided and is currently under capacity. TxDOT's proposed option 2 plan, also shown in your packets, realigns State Highway 78 onto Gaston Avenue, directing nearly double the traffic onto an already severely overcapacity residential street. Gaston Avenue is already the most dangerous street in East Dallas, according to 2017 accident statistics, and at a time when we should be addressing these safety issues, this intersection design makes them worse. Option 2 removes the straight alignment of Garland Grand and thereby impedes direct access to I-30, South Dallas, and downtown. This is a very important connection. The Texas Department of Transportation is working on improvements to I-30 that will make Garland Grand an even more important link for regional traffic. Option 2 unnecessarily impedes this link, and this makes no sense. Sarah mentioned TxDOT's flawed process. Specifically, this process TxDOT asked for public written comments following their 4th public meeting this past January. They received 266 written responses. Of these, 179 opposed option 2. That's 175 opposed, 66 supported option 2, and 25 addressed other issues. TxDOT also received this change.org petition that Sarah mentioned with over 600 signatures in opposition to option 2, and this was ignored. Option 2 is clearly not the community preferred plan, and more time must be taken to better evaluate Gaston Avenue and the downstream effects that this plan will have on our city streets and neighborhoods. These are very important community impacts that TxDOT has failed to address, but the city can address them because it is a joint project. We ask that you pass a resolution to rescind the city's support of option 2 until a true community preferred plan can be established. Thank you.
Thank you.
Melanie Van Lendingham.
Good morning. My name is Melanie Van Lendingham, 6311 Lakeshore Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75214. I'm in District 14. Thank you for allowing me to speak today about the redesign of the Garland-Grand-Gaston intersection. I'm here advocating for the East Dallas Coalition of Neighborhoods, which is comprised of 11 neighborhoods in Old East Dallas. TxDOT has failed to address many very important community impacts. They've never discussed impacts during the community meetings. They've shown misleading pretty pictures. They've only been concerned with reducing time it takes a driver to get through the intersection. They admit they did not consider broader impacts to community safety, mobility, or economic vitality. Community quality of life issues that TxDOT is ignoring include managing speeds through residential areas, effects increased commuter traffic will have on safety and walkability, connecting neighborhoods, safe routes to schools for our children, increased traffic through Baylor's historic district, hospital district, access to local businesses and economic viability, and the multiple complete streets efforts underway by the city. Option 2 threatens our community in all of these areas by deliberately redirecting highway traffic onto already overburdened Gaston Avenue, rather than more effectively using wide open lanes of East Grand to I-30. It threatens and further disenfranchises South Dallas revitalization by limiting access and customer base to this historically underserved community. Today, this intersection provides balance options and accessibility to multiple routes and communities. Why change this balance of traffic volume? Furthermore, TxDOT's alignment in option 2 encourages high speeds through and beyond the intersection from Garland to Gaston. TxDOT's option 2 shockingly ignores the fact that Gaston has been rated the most dangerous street in all of East Dallas. Option 2 ignores the city's transportation plans. Dallas is spending millions on improving walkability, safety, density, and revitalization, but the imbalance of higher volumes of traffic and speeds that Option 2 will funnel onto Gaston will effectively kill these city efforts and negatively impact communities for decades. TxDOT often conducts broader community impact assessments. Why isn't this being done for this project? For all these reasons, East Dallas Coalition of Neighborhoods asks that you rescind the city's support for Option 2 and insist on a plan that considers the community as a whole and appreciates the potential impacts this project has on safety, vitality, and connectivity of our neighborhoods. Thank you.
David Chin.
Mayor Rollins, council members. My name is David Chin. I live in District 14 at 6157 Richmond Avenue in Dallas, 75214. Again, thank you all for allowing us to speak today about the redesign of the intersection of State Highway 78 and Gaston Road, which is commonly referred to as the 3G. For all the reasons we have presented, TxDOT's Option 2 plan is not a community-preferred plan. And we are here today, again, to ask that in the near future, before more monies are spent or more progress is made, you pass a resolution to rescind the city's support of Option 2. Until a true preferred plan that addresses all the concerns of affected area residents can be established. I would like to close with a public written comment submitted to TxDOT by the councilman from my district. I write to encourage TxDOT to reconsider any redesign of the 3G intersection, State Highway 78 in Gaston, that moves more traffic onto Gaston. It is the City of Dallas's long-term intention to calm and reduce automotive traffic on Gaston. Furthermore, TxDOT's State Highway 78 facility between Gaston and IH-30 is underutilized. Both of these problems can be improved with a true T intersection at Gaston. The City of Dallas recently adopted Complete Streets Manual requires that new street improvements consider the contextual environment to inform the roadway design team. This has not been done. Gaston Avenue is designated as a residential street type in the manual and is listed as a future on-street bike path in the bike network vision map. It is currently not functioning well within the residential context, and none of this has been considered as part of the intersection design process. the volume of traffic being diverted onto Gaston Avenue, up to 29,000 vehicles per day, completely ignores the residential character of Gaston Avenue and runs directly counter to the complete streets guidelines for residential street types, which places a priority on reducing motor vehicle speeds and emphasizing intersection safety for pedestrians and bicyclists. Additionally, according to the intersection zone policy guidelines under the manual, free right turn movements and configurations should be reduced or eliminated where possible. For all of these reasons, I am requesting that TxDOT extend the public comment period and consider a true T intersection design. The design of this intersection will have far-reaching impact for all of East Dallas, for generations to come, The traffic generated by TxDOT's proposed design could prevent the City of Dallas being able to implement the complete street guidelines on other parts of Gaston or on nearby streets. Again, we ask that the City of Dallas listen to its citizens and rescind city support for option two, until a true preferred plan that addresses all affected citizens' needs can be established. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Leroy Pena.
My name is Leroy Pena. I'm a member of the Lipan Apache Tribe of Texas, and I'm the National Director of the Red-Handed Warrior Society. Now, I'm here to speak on having a resolution passed by the city officially recognizing Indigenous Peoples Day. Now, as many of you know, around the country, there have already been 47 municipalities that have passed a version of Indigenous Peoples Day. 27 were passed in 2017, and 10 so far this year in 2018. Now, I would like Dallas to be the 11th in 2018. Now, the very land that this building rests on was once part of the hunting grounds that we had here, being so close to the Trinity River. Now, Austin has just celebrated or is about to celebrate their sixth consecutive Indigenous Peoples Day. Now, that's where my family originated from, but my tribe was actually here in the Dallas area, along with a handful of other tribes. Now, you know, I went to Fort Worth ISD last week, and I spoke before the school board, and they approved a resolution honoring American Indian heritage. And on the 15th of October, TCU will dedicate a memorial to the Indigenous population. Now, I also went to Corpus Christi 2 weeks ago, and I spoke before the city council, and they agreed to recognize a day for the Indigenous tribes of that area on October 23rd. Now, I don't see why it's taken this long for a resolution to be passed honoring the Indigenous population of this area. So on Monday, there's going to be a rally held in front of City Hall here, you know, asking the city to honor the Indigenous population. I would like for this resolution to be passed before then, so that we can make it a celebration more than a rally, because this has been a long time coming. Now, I emailed a few of you here in the city council about this, asking for your support in voting for this resolution. Now, like I said, it's been a long time. We've been here for a very, very long time, and now it's time that we will recognize, especially in this city. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. These are your first five registered speakers, whereas the other two remaining speakers have canceled. Therefore, this concludes your open microphone speakers for this meeting.
Thank you.
We will now move to your voting agenda. Agenda item one, approval of minutes of the September 18, 2018 City Council meeting.
Got a motion and a second. Any edits, discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item two, consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. This morning, you do have full council and individual appointments. There will also be a separate ballot vote for the vice chair of the City Plan and Zoning Commission. Your nominees for full council appointment to the Housing Finance Corporation Board, Juan J. Garcia is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. To the Reinvestment Zone 6 Board, Farmers Market, Jake McCall is being nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. Your nominee for individual appointment, Alindra L. Lyons, is being nominated to the Civil Service Board Adjunct Member by Councilmember Felder. Ms. Lyons meets the experience as non-profit volunteer.
Do we have a motion to approve? We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
There will, as I stated earlier, there will be a separate ballot vote for the Vice Chair of the City Plan and Zoning Commission. Your nominees are Jared Davis is being nominated Vice Chair by Mayor Rawlins and Mayor Pro Tem Thomas, and Peter Michael Young is being nominated as Vice Chair to the City Plan and Zoning Commission by Councilmember Clayton. Our office is distributing ballots now.
Thank you. Anybody want to say anything on behalf of any of these folks? Mr. Clayton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I nominated Michael Young. He's my plan commissioner, and he's been on going into his fourth year, and I think he's just an excellent candidate. I think CPC, outside of probably what we do and maybe Park Board, I think is the most important thing here, and I think he's a brilliant mind, and I think having the leadership in there would be not only an honor for him having earned it, but also just a voice of reason and stability. So that's why I nominate. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Clayton. Mr. Thomas?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've got a chance to know Jared pretty well since he's been on the Plan Commission. He worked very close with our previous vice chair, my appointee, Matt Houston, and he's done a very good job. Several cases that Matt even wanted consultation on, he had Jared to come. And because of that reason, I think he's very worthy of serving as vice chair. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This council has a policy of complete streets and pedestrian safety. And Mr. Davis has been a constant opponent of efforts to make streets safer and more beneficial for neighborhoods. That is not consistent with a good city plan commissioner. So I can't possibly support him.
Thank you. I will be supporting Mr. Davis. I have heard from the Planning Commission his excellent wisdom in making a lot of decisions. I think he is consistent with the vision of the city. And as we try to continue to pull the city together, ethnic diversity is very important. We only have two African-American members on the City Planning and Zoning Commission. It concerns me. District 4 does not have a city council member right now, so I'm speaking for that. And I think it is important to have that diversity in our leadership of these different committees and commissions. So I'll be supporting him, and I would ask your support not only for the quality of the man, but because of what we're trying to do as a city. Mr. Atkins?
Yes, I will be supporting Mr. Davis, number one. You know, my commission just got a board, and just talking to Mr. Davis, also talking about Southern Dallas economic opportunity and the things that we are trying to bring the city together. We just had two African-Americans on the CPC Planning Commission, and Ms. Lovers, we lost her, and this is a person who we'll drive out to different locations and see what's going on firsthand. And that's why it's important. He had the time, and also he gained the knowledge in knowing the city.
Thank you. With that, everybody vote, turn it in, That's it?
I was going to say the result of the ballot vote will be announced later in the meeting. Your briefing continue.
Thank you. Mr. Brodnix.
Thank you, Mayor. Have staff begin to make their way to the dais. We're going to provide a brief update today on the status of the bond program and do a brief walkthrough, I believe, of the bond website for constituents as well as council to be able to guide them to get the necessary updates absent city staff's briefing today and future briefings. That will come in between time. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. And following this, we'll stay here and go right into executive session where we have four items. Thank you. Mr. Al Godfrey.
Good morning, Mayor and Council
Member. I've got the name right, finally.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, Mr. Mayor and council members. I'm very pleased to present to you an update to the 2017 bond program. I wanted to introduce Rick Galceron, our director of the bond program, who's next to me. The purpose of this presentation is to provide an update to the City Council on this bond program, as well as to navigate through our new 2017 interactive website. And with us is going to be Ken, hopefully I don't torture the name, Hoag, who's going to be walking us through this this update. Next. Just as for the audience's benefit, the Dallas voters approved a $1.05 billion bond program back in November of 2017 with about $350 million in other public and private leverages. So we really can consider this bond program to be about $1.4 billion. Next. Some of the key tasks that I wanted to update you on, the first one is the new bond program website, and it is live now. And this information in the bond website continues to be uploaded. Earlier on, we had some challenges with the financial tool integrating with the presentation tool, and we've worked through those kinks. But we continue to update this website and continue to improve on it as well. The second item is awarding groups of design projects to architects and engineers. And we've awarded about, the City Council has awarded about 10 projects, and we're in the process of recommending the award of another 50 projects in the very near future. So we're going fast and furious on those. The third item is to implement shovel-ready projects. So we wanted to get going from the beginning to ensure that we have projects that are waiting to be constructed, to be in the pipeline. And the City Council, one example, the City Council awarded a 4 packages for street improvements. That's total $50 million, and that's going to be under construction very soon. The last piece is the professional program manager, and the City Council awarded this 3 packages or 3 contracts with program managers to support the bond office as well as the client departments in executing all of the projects and the 10 propositions, and that was awarded back in on September 26th. Moving on to the next slide, these are some of the commitments that have taken place already from January to September of this year. The goal for us is to be able to execute about 161 projects, either encumber or execute $161 million, $162 million of the bond program. Up to September, we've been able to execute about $92 million of that. Next. I want to touch a little bit on some of the highlighted projects in the different proposition, starting with streets and transportation. There's $29 million of projects that are committed for street resurfacing rehabilitation. There's $1.6 million for design services for 53 of 62 traffic signals that are done. Next. On the Proposition B, which is the Parks and Recreations, a huge project for us is Downtown Parks, and the city has already committed $15.9 million for parks for downtown and for the 4 parks that we have. Wanted to highlight that there's almost $43 to $45 million worth of private contributions towards this project as well, and the city's commitment is $25 million. And that partnership with the Parks for Downtown has been magnificent, and the coordination, the collaboration has been a major success for us. Kudos for the private partners on that one. Next. Again, to continue with Proposition B on the spray grounds, there are 6 spray grounds that are slated to be completed in this year, and they're all on schedule. We were a little bit behind schedule, but again, through the collaboration of the internal departments as well as the bond office, we're able to execute those projects. Next. On the aquatic parks, we have four parks that are scheduled to be completed in May of 2020. On the Bachman Lake Park, we've encountered some challenges, and we'll be talking to Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano and Mr. Narvaez, Councilman Narvaez, on that specific one. But otherwise, we're scheduled to be on time in constructing those projects. Moving on to Fair Park, we have approximately $3 million allocated or committed for design and construction services for five of the nine projects in Fair Parks, and we're working very closely with the Parks Department on that execution piece. Next. On the flood control, which is Proposition D, there's $4 million of the about $40 million allocated for the drainage piece, and that's to take care of three projects for this year. We expect that next year will be a lot more heavier in taking care of maybe 10 to 12 projects next year. On Prop E, on the library facilities, the design services is being currently secured for the two major libraries that we have, the Forest Green Branch Library and the Vickery Meadow Branch Library, and both are expected to begin construction in 2019. On Prop F, on the cultural and performing arts, some of the highlighted projects including the DMA, the Dallas Museum of Arts, with about $6 million, and the Meyerson with about $3.8 million. Hopefully I didn't switch the numbers. But design services, RFPs are currently underway. So we hope to see construction activities and improvements to start very soon as well. On Prop G, for the public safety facilities, the fencing and the security improvements in six of the seven facilities have already been completed, and the Northwest is expected to be completed very soon. Next. And on city facilities, there's electrical improvements that is going to be going underway, and that's about $2.8 million of electrical panel improvements that is going to be going on this year. On Prop I, there is about $17 million of funds that have been committed. The highlight of that is about $8 million for Redbird Mall and $3 million for the Hillcrest Village. Next. On the Proposition J for homeless assistance facilities, some of the highlighted projects for 2018 is a notice of funding availability, a NOFA of approximately $6 million, the goal is to do some transitional homes for the city. This is just a picture. This is just a rendering or a picture of what a transitional home would look like. The proposed five-year expenditure for this is, as I mentioned earlier, the $162 million for year 2018, $250 million for the next 3 years, and concluding with about $139 million for year 2022. Some of the additional consideration that I wanted to mention is that there's an escalation cost typically that is done for the first 3 years. However, there's going to be savings probably in projects from the first year, and I wanted to say that with those savings, I think it's important for us to hold those savings until maybe the third or the fourth year, and then bring those savings back after we ensure that we know the commodity prices and the costs of the projects. before any funds are allocated to other projects. I think it's very important because we want to make sure that we execute all of the bond programs on its components and its face value. But those project overruns could experience those project overruns that could be labor issues, there could be material availability, there could be pricing changes in the material, and sometimes we run into field conditions. So it's important to hold some of the savings that we experience in the first 2 or 3 years for later years to ensure that we're not going to run short of funds in the future. Next. If we have any savings in the future, the staff would recommend that they either get appropriated to other projects at the City Council's discretion or be utilized to pay back the bond debt, or bond funding is not issued, and that definitely could be suspended. And as I mentioned, the highlight of this presentation is really a kind of a walkthrough by King Huag, who works in our CIS department, who's been incredibly instrumental in putting together this web page. And I'll turn it to Ken.
Thanks, sir. Mr. Mayor, Mr. City Manager, honorable members of the council, I appreciate the opportunity to show you this website that we've been working on for some period of time. It's a robust bond program dashboard and project description, scheduling, and tracking webpage. It's our public face for the bond program, and it provides accountability and transparency. Some of the functions, it gives us a very good dashboard on the projects of the 2017 bond initiative. It allows transparency to the citizens of Dallas. It allows visibility for the council members, city manager, and assistant city managers. It provides a utility dashboard for directors to monitor and control the projects as it pertains to their directories. And it provides a utility dashboard for the financial managers, project managers, program managers, and the bond office to monitor and control the execution of the 2017 bond program. All those nice words aside, how do we get to it? If you start on the City of Dallas website and select departments, it's going to bring you to a page. We scroll down some. And we find the Department of Public Works. From Department of Public Works, we go to the Capital Bond Program. From the Capital Bond Program, there's a selector here for the Dallas Bond Program. When we select that, it brings us to the main page. Much easier way to get to it, if you go to Google and type Dallas Bond Program, it's going to bring you to this page. So what does this page actually do for us? We've got some functionality built in. We've got a search button here that allows us to search for different projects or any keywords. We can look at listings by proposition. It'll tell us how much, what projects we have, what we need to be working on. There's a nice GIS map. I'll get back to that in a few minutes. We've got a link that allows vendors to get into our system for the bid process. It actually transfers you to the bid process system. As we scroll down a little bit more, we see some of the financial information. We see amount awarded, the total amount authorized being $1.05 billion in the current year. Then we can scroll down a little further and we find the different propositions. Propositions for Parks and Recs has 191 projects, $261.81 million, and so on. We can go through any of these propositions. So I'm going to look at the Parks and Rec proposition first. We scroll down, we can see that they're well into some of their funding, 51% of their 2018 goals so far, and we can look at projects. We can look at it by saying what projects are completed, what projects are we working on, or just show me every project that we've got that's part of this proposition. For the projects that are working on today, I'm going to select the Aquatics Master Plan. And as we scroll down, we see that we're in the construction awarded phase. It tells us what the name of the project is, and it gives us some information, a little bit of a description. It covers Council Districts 1, 2, 5, 10, and 11, which is important to many of the people in here. I then get to this black bar, which lets me know start date. Here's our status, and we expect to be done at the end of May of 2019. A little further down, I see a project timeline. The project timeline is at a higher level. It doesn't give you a complete work breakdown structure, but it tells us we're going into design, and we finished design in February of 17. Construction starts in July of 17 and finishes in 2019. A little further down, we can find more details. The bond program year, when it was created, the funding. This is an $11 million project. Right now, we have $10.8 million that are scheduled in the budget amount. We've committed $10.6 million of that, and we have expensed $642,000. It also gives us dates for the design phase and dates for the construction phase. So there's another thing we can do, which is doing a search. And I'm going to do a search. If we go back to the main page, which was here, I can do a search on Mockingbird Lane. And if I typed correctly, it'll bring me to this search page. Now, I'm going to look at this search for Mockingbird Lane, which I've already got up. And when I click on it, it brings me to a nice streets and transportation project for Mockingbird Lane. We're doing some resurfacing. Construction has been awarded on this one. Start date, we've got TBD, but it's under construction. The reason for that is, as we're still bringing this system online, we have not gone back and taken care of all of the dates that were done in the past. That's still part of the process we're doing as we bring everything online. But the current dates that we're working are in there, and we have an estimated completion of February for this one. Again, we can scroll down. We can see that we have not gone back and taken the time to put some of the older dates in. The project managers are working on that. We're systemically getting it better, systematically getting it better. But the dates for the current construction that's going on, we're seeing that we do have good dates in there. We have an estimated completion date. We're showing TBD for the actual because we haven't reached that time frame yet. And again, we're seeing the same information about statuses, financial information, and such. Now, one of the really interesting things is the project map, which we'll select from here. When we select that project map, it's going to bring us to a nice GIS map. I happen to put in Fair Park's address because we got some good stuff going on in Fair Park today. And when we do that search, it's going to show us these are the projects that are going on in Fair Park. This is nice for the citizen because they can put their actual address in and they can see all of the projects that are going to be happening in a half mile, quarter mile, mile and a half radius. And they can see what's coming up. They can click on it and find out, okay, here, Hall of State. It tells us what we've got, and you can actually go to the project. So we click on the project and we find there's our Hall of State project. So now we've given the citizens a way to look at, here's what matters to me. This is what's going on in my neighborhood. Streets are going to be resurfaced on day X. I need to be looking out. Or this stuff's happening. I like that my councilman got this work done for me. When we go through Hall of State, we see the same type of information, start dates. We've got in the design phase, and we expect this one to be done in 2020. Again, we show a high-level project timeline, not going down in the work breakdown structure, and the same information. There's one other feature that's really nice about this website. Dallas is a very diverse city, people from all over. Not everyone has English as a first language. Not everyone even is great at English. So we also have the ability to translate into other languages so that we have transparency for all of our citizens, not just the ones that speak English as a first language. If I have any questions, if not, I'd like to turn the floor back over to Majid.
Mayor, a highlight for us also is to mention of the funds committed for 2018. The MWBE participation is almost 48%, which is a huge, huge undertaking.
Thank you, Mr. Al-Ghafri. That is good news, 48%. Let's keep it up. I want to be clear, though. We get some terms. I think you used the term funds committed in your chart, and in the website it is awarded. Is awarded and committed the same thing?
No, they're not, Mayor.
Would you kind of explain, so the citizens are going to see awarded, what are they not understanding with that?
So the award is an action by the City Council. The commitment is on specific projects that are coming forth to the City Council for that.
I'm sorry, committed is what?
So the awarded projects are the projects that
we
have
vote on and say
yes, sir.
Okay. Why does it matter that it's committed if it's not awarded?
I think you can use them interchangeably, but the award, we wanted to highlight that this is the action by the City Council.
Well, I know, but why shouldn't that be what you're tracking, too? I'm not arguing with you. I'm trying to understand.
So we started using awarded. We found that we would be able to better describe all the projects that were coming before us, and we went up and called it a committed project. Some projects are based on a master agreement, and so the council may not actually see them. Because they're, for example, a resurfacing street, we're moving such a massive amount. We wanted to make sure that we captured everything. That's where the committed comes from.
I figured out my question. What is the nuance? Is it going to happen? Can it happen if it's committed but not awarded?
Yes.
So we don't put the stamp on everything.
That's correct.
I got it. Okay, I don't know why, but that at least I understand. Okay, now, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I really enjoy the interactive bond map for the 2017 package. The city is also deploying currently funds from the 2006 and 2012 bond packages. We've also, over the last 3 years, tried to budget for zero street degradation, and we've had many discussions about what that number is, and I still don't really know what it is. And we have regular maintenance that comes out of a streets fund. We have an alley fund. We have sidewalk funds. Can we put those on the map?
We're actually working right now on our infrastructure management program, which is an interactive 5-year maintenance program. They will be added to the website as well. They'll have their own website, and we're going to try to integrate them into that. But the short answer is yes.
When will that happen?
I'm expecting that would be done very early next year.
There was a communication from your office, Mr. Al-Ghafri, about 4 or 5 months ago that said that we would be putting those projects on the map in May or June. What is the reason for the delay?
So we're revamping actually all of those projects and restudying all of those. I wanted to make sure that we have true street pavement condition before we do this, because we don't want to show you a picture of the city streets and then come back 6 months later and give you a different picture. So we're revamping.
Yeah, that is a good concern, because that's happened multiple times.
Well, and I don't want to
council.
I don't want to do that.
We went to the voters in 2012, telling them that $260 some odd million would raise the streets to 87% acceptable, and that was fairly embarrassing when that turned out to be $1 billion off. A process question, Mr. Mayor. What else we've got today?
Just this in closed session.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you,
Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to start with the point the mayor was making about the committed versus awarded, and I understand that because some of these contracts, like the resurfacing, is under one big contract, and that different projects are underneath it. But what I want to make sure is that it's budgeted. So that plan that you have on the page that says how much you're going to be allocating every year, does that match up to the biannual budget at this point? And then are you using that word to say if it's committed that it has a budget, that is budgeted? Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. So, and that's matching up. I think it's page 13 or something. But okay. No, it wasn't 13. Sorry, I didn't write down the page. That had all the different years of how much money was going to be allocated. It's like 250, 250.
It's the
Sorry.
The third from last.
Yeah. So that money that matches up to our current biannual budget, what we've done this year and what's projected next year. 2018.
Page
18. Okay. Yeah. So yes, you're telling me. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. The Bachman project too. Would you make sure I get updated on that? That is the closest aquatics project to my district. So when you let Mr. Navarez and Mr. Medrano know.
Yes, ma'am.
And then thank you for working diligently and working with my office on the Vickery Meadow Library, which we're going to be under construction next year. On page 14, what is... So that, all of that was in the bond program, that fencing? I thought some of that was coming from general funds.
No, a lot of that work is coming from the bond program. There's some that is tied to general fund, but there's the majority is the bond program.
Okay, but it's all been awarded.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Actually, all but one have been completed.
Okay. And then on page 16, what is the $5 million housing project? Housing development grant.
This is part of the opportunity to attract housing development, affordable housing development, and enhance that opportunity. So a NOFA is being, I believe, initiated with the housing department to address that.
Well, you talk about under the homeless that there's a NOFA going out, but this one says a proposed housing development grant award in $5 million. So this one acts like it's been awarded.
No, this is a NOFA. No,
so
it hasn't
NOFA
been awarded.
So there's
that's
two,
correct.
There's two NOFAs, the one on 16 and then on the house and then on 17 under
that's
the
correct.
Homeless. Okay. And then on page 19, the 4%, so that you've just done 4% because some you're going to be able to do under budget, correct, because you're doing it earlier, and then so it's kind of graduated. Then some will be larger than what you budgeted because it'll take pricings are going up.
That's typical in a construction project.
Right. But to the 4% is typical?
The 4% is typical. This is what we've been doing in the past.
So that's expecting, though, that some of the projects currently out for bid are going to be come in less, right? Because if they're all going to be 4, then you're going to have some at the end that we know are going to be more than 4%.
So some projects, yeah, we will have favorable prices, and some we may not. So
okay.
It averages out to what you're saying.
So are you going to have a mechanism to be monitoring that we're staying within, so we're not going to run out of money towards the end, the last project?
That's the goal, because if the city council moves money in different projects, we may run into that issues.
Okay. And then the transparency website, thank you. That's such a great tool for our residents. The question I had regarding it is, are you having to manually go in there and put all that information, or is it connected to when we award things and when payments are made so that we can make sure that it's kept up to date?
So
how is it managed?
So some of the effort now is being manual. Once we fix all the glitches, it'll be automatic.
Okay. So, but we're anticipating that we're going to stay pretty up to date.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. All right. I think it's a great tool. Thanks for working on that. And I look forward to ask the same questions Mr. Kingston's brought up when we look at having to be able to be transparent to our residents about what's going on. This is bond, it's capital money, but what's going on with our maintenance and our general funds? I think that's going to be a great tool. It would have been great if you'd had it this summer, but I want to make sure you get it right. And it's it's a tool that they can, you know, when people are having a question, what's going on in this street, they're going to be able to just go in and it'd be helpful if and be able to find that information online. It'd be helpful. I understand why they need to stay in two different, but if there's a way that if you put in a road like, Hillcrest, it would then guide you. You say, well, there's construction, but there's not a bond project going on there, and then maybe guide you then to the general fund maintenance and be able to find out what that project is. Does that make sense?
So yeah. And hopefully we'll have the ability also to add all of water and wastewater projects as well.
That would be awesome. Thank you for that.
You done?
Yeah, I'm done. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Give me that website address again.
Can you say the website address again?
DallasBond.com is what I've been trying to use.
Yes, sir, DallasBond.com.
A bond with no S, right?
That's right.
Is that currently live right now, this minute?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I know the other day when we were talking about it, we couldn't get on it, couldn't utilize it. And I'm trying to subscribe, but it won't receive my subscription. It just said server not working or something, so maybe it's...
There was a day and a half where the server went dark on us, and so that probably was the time.
I have it ramped up, but again, it won't receive my subscription, so City Hall address or my personal email address. I'm not sure. I just need to talk with somebody technical, I guess, to try to work through that. But I just want to make sure that I can get on it and use it.
Sir, if you would Google Dallas Bond Program, that's the quickest way to get to it. The actual URL is very long, but if you Google Dallas Bond Program and take the first selection, it'll get you there.
I'll try that.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
And I heard that earlier. Okay, just wanted to share with you some of my frustration with projects and construction in general, and I know you're well aware of this, both Majid and others, but... seems like every time we do a construction project in Southeast or District 5, there's always excessive delays. And one, I want to illustrate for the live audience and for the council the frustrations that we've had. It's been widely chronicled about the aquatic centers. You know, had one for myself and Mr. Medrano, Mr. Kleinman, and all three were, in my view, excessively delayed. And again, those were not the quintessential bond program, but yet they had components of that. I think even some extra money was utilized for it. But I want to make sure that this doesn't spill over into the bond campaign. Obviously the city manager has been given the charge to try to, spend and elevate and complete these projects within 5 years. But on the aquatic center, just want one example, and I'll walk through this because I think it's important. The fact that, we originally had a timeline on May 1, then that timeline was moved to Memorial Day, and then they indicated, well, for sure by June the 30th, and then we'll have a soft opening July the 15th, and then finally on August 4th, we had a soft opening because the landscaping was not finished, the fence was not finished, the security was not in place, the internet wasn't in place, and just a whole host of challenges. So, and then we finally, Mayor, we got it open. It was beautiful. You came out to the ribbon cutting, and obviously we're grateful and we're very proud of it, but it was open one month. And the reason for that was because, college students, teachers, and high school students, they were the lifeguards. There weren't enough lifeguards that were screened and hired and so forth. So that was a huge disappointment. And we had one city employee. She wanted to have a family event, and she wanted to do it on September the 15th. And they said, well, you need to go to Bachman because that's the only one that's going to be open. Sorry about that, man. And, you know, that just didn't sit well with her city, loyal city employee, constituent of mine. And I feel her pain because she had to go across town to Bachman after all of this hoopla. Now, that's just one example. We know what happened. We had a sit-down meeting, and I appreciate the fact that we're willing to kind of peel the onion back and take a look. Why were these timelines? You know, we heard anything from, well, it took 3.5 months after, you know, it went to the building inspection to get the commentary back, and then there was rains, and then there was management issues along with manpower shortages and all that. But anyway, it happened. But it also happened on Fire Station 32, which was a previous bond. So there was delays. That was supposed to have opened 2 or 3 months before, but it didn't. Pleasant Oaks Community Center had been shuttered 4.5 years due to asbestos. Finally got going on that thing, and then the city management said that is going to absolutely open in July. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You know when that finally opened? It was January the 15th of 2015, 6 months later after being shut down 4.5 years. Now, this is the kind of challenges that we've had. We get excited about things, and every time we get these projects going, then they just never can seem to get completed. And it's always the same thing. Well, it was just extenuating circumstances or the unintended consequences. Well, it was a perfect storm. We just didn't see it coming. But we'll make sure in the future that that doesn't happen. But yet it becomes not more than a trend manager. So I want to make sure as we go forward in this bond campaign that we don't have the same things happening over and over, because, you know, we've just had it up here. Again, we want to show gratitude. We appreciate it, the things that we're getting, but it's just so painful to try to put these things, and I'll stop right there. Thank you.
Councilman, I really appreciated those comments. I know we were reactive on those aquatic plans. That was a lessons learned. Right now we're very proactive, and we're very aware on all of those projects. That's an example of why I mentioned the Bachman, because we wanted to deal with those circumstances ahead of time, not last minute. So definitely the communication with the council offices as well as with all of the departments is of the utmost importance for us, as well as making sure that we are very proactive and that we're collaborating all of the departments to make sure that we execute on time and under budget.
Please. We've got to have bidirectional communication. We've got to make sure that these timelines are adhered to. Mr. Felder likes to use the term management by walking around, and in my MBA studies, that's what we had to. We've got to go out and look and find out why they're not adhering to the timeline, rather than some, oh, it's never to hear from them. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Felder.
Yes, so page 10. I'd like to talk about the African American Museum. I see that the design build is 88,620. So the amount in the bond for the African American Museum is what? How much?
We'll pull in that information up.
Thank you.
No, see. $2 million.
Okay, and so the 88,620. Can you walk me through that? And what is that for? What has been done to this point?
I will actually ask someone from Parks to be able to answer that. Luis is here.
Could you come up front so we don't have to look back there, over there, please?
Good morning, Louise Elam, Assistant Director, Parks and Recreation Department. We've awarded the design phase contract for the African American Museum. So once the design build firm has completed the design and given us a GMP, will award the construction phase. So we expect that probably beginning of next year.
Okay. So what does the 88620, what does that represent? What is that for?
That's for the design phase.
Okay. All right. And so what is the first construction project that you're going to do at the museum? Can you walk me through that, the first of next year?
I will have to get you that information.
Yes, I will.
They're in the process of doing the design and cost estimates.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So, Majid, you know, I'm getting a lot of constituents calling me about some of the projects that have been ongoing for a while. Lamar Street has been torn up for like 2-3 years, and I need to get a timeline on that because it's interrupting business operations. It's interrupting church. There's a church there that has called me and asked me, Councilman Felder, what is going on? Why is it taking so long? Can you walk us through that, please?
Sure. First of all, yes, I'll get you a timeline. There are several organizations working there throughout that area, both TxDOT, City of Dallas, and in the City of Dallas, it's not only a road or reconstruction project, but it's also a huge drainage project that's associated with that, that works with TxDOT. That being said, let me get a date for you, and I'll provide that to you.
Okay. The next one is Al Lipscomb. Same thing. You guys have been working on Al Lipscomb for 2-3 years. Where are we with that? What's the timeline to finish?
I'm not prepared to give you an update on that project. And again, it's a previous bond program project.
That makes
I can get that to you.
That makes it even worse because the constituents are very upset. They don't know what's going on. No one is giving any timeline, and I can't give them a timeline if you can't give me one. So I don't have an answer to give to my constituents, and I need to be able to have that answer. You know, can you tell me what the delay is? Each contract should have a beginning date and an end date. I need to know when it began. Can you tell me that now?
We'll, Councilman, we'll provide you the beginning date, the end date, the issues that we've encountered, and when we're going to be done with that.
So we won't go back and forth. Can you give me every street project that you're working on in District 7, Bond Street project that you're working on in District 7? Because I'm telling you, I'm getting a number of calls every day. People are upset. But the biggest problem is on Lamar. Because you've got a lot of construction. Not only do you have Lamar, then you're going into the SM Wright project. So people are, you know, really, you know, just it's just too much construction over a number of years, anywhere from 2 to 5 years worth of construction. It's killing the traffic patterns and everything over there. So I really need some detailed information on every bond project streets that you're working on. I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. On the 2006 and 2012 bond package, the different proposition, do we have a dashboard? When will we have a dashboard to show whatever project is open?
We're going to be working on that next. We wanted to focus on 2017.
I understand, but when will we have that? On the 2006 bond package and 2012 bond package, each proposition, what proposition that we got outstanding? Okay. We should have that. That should be somewhere.
We have it.
Okay, can I get a copy of that?
Absolutely.
Okay. On page 19. The 4% of the total projects, what is that amount equal to, the 4%?
That was the anticipated.
I know what inflation. What is that amount?
So for a $100,000 project.
I mean, a question. Simple. What is the amount of the 4% increase? How much money is that in dollars?
Each project is different.
Total of all the total project, what do the 4% represent? What is that dollar amount?
We'll get you that information as well.
Okay. Of all the proposition, will we keep a running total that if a proposition is under or over, when will you show that and how will you show that if it's over or under on the dashboard?
We will show that. I mean, that's part of the reason for the website as well.
A question, simple. Of all the propositions, A, B, C, D, E, if you finish at A, if it's over or under, when we show that on the dashboard, when would that be shown? When a project completed, when they get their retainers, when that would be shown?
When the project is completed.
Okay.
We cannot close out a project and we cannot leave any money out and not close a project.
I understand that. Okay. Of each project, when you complete one project and proposition and streets, if there is $1 million left over, you will come back to the city council and say, this project, a proposition A, we got $1 million over. Will you decide where the money will go to, or you will come back to us and say, hey, by the way, on proposition A, we got $1 million. You can use this money in what other proposition? When will you do that?
So the goal for us is to wait at least 3 years before any available funds move to other projects within that same proposition. You cannot move funds between propositions.
I understand.
So that money has to stay in that same proposition.
Okay,
so the goal for us is to close all the projects in the first 3 years. And then if there's any funds that have not been earmarked for years four and five for overruns, then we'll come back to the city council and say, these are the funds that are available. What would you like us to do?
Okay, so therefore, if we finish on time and the proposition A will be finished in 5 years, you would not come back to us until 3 more years and say we use that money. I mean, that's what my understanding, what you just said.
That's the staff's recommendation, yes.
That's the staff recommendation.
Councilmember, let me clarify. I think what you just said is different from what he said. What Majid is saying is that if there are any excess or funds available in any project, I think the cumulative amount between whether it's 10 projects, we're going to request that in the first 3 years of the bond program specifically, that we not expend those on new projects basically until we can understand in years 4 and 5 what we expect those costs to be of the remaining projects. Once, in fact, we've determined the availability of the funds, we will then bring forward throughout all the propositions the total amount in each proposition that's available and then develop a process working with City Council to figure out how we go about using those funds throughout the city. And obviously, I'm assuming getting projects that were either left out of the program that we would recommend that we move forward and then provide that to council and let you decide how to do that. But we're hopeful that you allow us at least the first 3 years to put those monies sort of in a pot so that then we can come to you and try to expend those going into the fourth and fifth year on either new projects and or cost expectations of increases in projects. I think that's what Magic was saying, but I think you said, and I think he concurred, we would wait till 3 years after the program is complete. That is not what we're saying. 3 years.
Yes. Right. So therefore, 3 years going into the project, you would figure out what.
Yes, in year 4 and 5, we would come back and say to you, we've got $20 million available if need be in the streets proposition. How would we want to have council expend those dollars?
And that's great. That's what I want to figure out, because, number one, we still have project. And year 2006 and 2012, we have used and we still got money sitting out there. So I don't want to get in the same boat in the past that we're getting right now with the new system. So you said the first 3 years, we will figure that out. We'll bank that money down the road. But also, in each proposition, when the voters vote on each proposition, that money got to stay in that proposition. So, therefore, if the money stayed in the proposition and said that you already had addressed citywide that this money should go here, then you will come back to the city council and say, okay, we got $5 million citywide streets. These are streets that this proposition is going toward. Now, we as a council member, then we got to decide where that money go. Is that a first statement?
Only in the street proposition.
But you got to come back to the city council, then we got to figure out how do we use that money in that proposition.
And yeah, that would be staff's recommendation.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. First, I want to say thank you, sir, for all your work on that website. It's really excellent, and I just think a great tool for our citizens to find out what's going on right around them and on any specific project. I also want to say that it is on the homepage of DallasCityHall.com if you just scroll down to the bottom, so that's another easy way of getting to it. I did want to ask the manager, so I guess in the budget we created the Office of Bonds program?
Yes, ma'am.
So we did, again, move like 150 employees out of civil service protection into an office of, which we seem to be doing more and more and more.
No, ma'am.
No. Okay, tell me why then I'm wrong.
Thank you for having me share that with you as the rest of the council. This came up, and I was in a discussion yesterday with staff. And so there was some clarification, at least on my part, that I needed to give related to positions that are assigned by charge point only, meaning
what does that mean?
That means they're funding while they're working on specific bond projects is coming from the bond project itself, which is then controlled by the bond office. They're still seated and or responsive to their respective departments, i.e. Parks and Rec or Public Works. Their charge points were changed and routed to the bond program itself. So as they work, their expenses related to those projects are charged directly to those projects. They're still supervised at a higher level by their respective department directors. However, when they're working on projects and working towards efforts in the bond program, there's a dual supervision between Mr. Galceron and the director. Should there be any issues with the employee, Mr. Galceron would be working with their originating department director. Their statuses have not changed. They're just reporting to, kind of on loan while the program exists, to the bond office. So there is no change in the classification status.
So say there was some problem, and they would ordinarily have like an appeal right. If they're working on the bond program while they're still under a particular department, do they have appeal rights or not?
So there's never appeal rights when it comes to specific assignments that you do. So if, in fact, they are not functioning well in the bond program, then we would work to find someone else, probably in that department, that could be assigned to work on those projects, and then they would go back to doing duties that were not bond-related in their department.
And which means they'd still be under civil service.
Correct.
Okay, that was a clarification I needed. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Because my concern was is that, you know, I believe in civil service protections for employees, and I know that generally management would prefer not to have civil service. That may be not a fair statement, but I think in general it's true. You'd like at-will employees. But we have that in our charter and civil service protections, and I worry that every time we approve a budget, we create more offices of, and offices of means that it's not civil service. So that was my concern, and at least with this one, I know now that they're still in their originating department, unless they're working on some specific project, but basically they're still in their originating department.
Correct.
Right?
And so one of the things we've got to do, and we talked through it a little bit yesterday, we're working through the technical pieces of that, of how our system is put together in the payroll system as well as all of our computerized systems to make sure they're coded the correct way, obviously as a function of where the budgets go. But if, in fact, we cannot work through those issues, I know I shared with staff, I would direct that they place things in, particularly those people working in the bond program, in their personnel file that speaks to the specifics of their civil service protection should the system not reflect it, just so that we are aware of that. But again, to your point related from departments to offices, I think that's obviously the understanding of how our systems work here. I'm a big supporter of civil service, and obviously to do things that
impact employees is something that's very sensitive to me in the first place. And so I want to make sure that everybody's afforded the necessary rights, whether they're at will and or civil service. There should be fairness in how we deal with them as employees. And so, again, I think whether civil service or at will, to me, an employee has certain rights and expectations of their employer, and I'm hopeful that my staff, as well as myself, can adhere to making sure that people are always treated fairly.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because I am also a supporter of the civil service system, and I worry that people who had those protections and rights then get moved to a department or an office where they don't have those rights. So what you've created in the bond program is sort of a hybrid.
Yes. Yeah, I would equate it more similar to a shared services type of a concept, but yes, it is.
Well, it's kind of the language you choose to use. But, okay. Well, thank you for those answers. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, I want to commend you on the work and then also the website. Something that, as we were going through the process of preparing, having town hall meetings, community meetings about the bond and encouraging residents to vote for this bond, transparency kept coming up. A lot of questions were asked about previous bonds and making sure that this process would be different, would be transparent. So I think the website does a great job in going towards that. As Councilman Atkins asked, I'd also like to get a copy, if possible, by the end of the day, of the bond projects from 2006 and 2012 that are in District 3 specifically. I think continuing to keep us, you know, informed, you know, we had a website, but then also making sure that you're having, you know, one-on-one with council members in terms of priority projects. I think that's critically important. The bond allows us to address a lot of projects that we don't have the funding to do from year to year with the budget. And so, fortunately, in my district, a lot of people, we have a lot of creeks. And imagine we're going to set that two up real soon where you ride around and see some of these areas where we're having erosion control projects. But thankfully, we were able to include more than just streets. I know some people wanted a streets-only bond, but a lot of people in my district, in many parts of Southern Dallas, have said we need more than just focus on streets. And so now that we have approved the bond, we have funding for these projects, we want to make sure, you know, because I get calls pretty regular, hey, my street was listed in the bond, or our park, or whatever the case may be, where is the status of that? And so I can direct people directly to this website. And if they say, well, hey, you know, I thought it was going to be soon, I said, well, let's sit down and have a conversation, see if we can move some things around and make things happen even sooner. So I commend you, but let's keep the transparency going, continue the ongoing communication with council members, and I think the residents will be pleased with this outcome of this bond. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your presentation and asking the questions. Let's get this word out for this website. I think it'll help what Ms. Grayson and Mr. Thomas talked about. With that, Ms. Johnson, do you want to, you've got
the ballot
report
result.
On the
yes. ballot. The result of the ballot vote is as follows. With Jared Davis receiving the majority of the votes, Mr. Davis is appointed Vice Chair of the City Plan and Zoning Commission by acclamation.
Thank you. With that, we will go into executive session now. We'll come back out, but just to close, we don't have any other speakers, so there's no more public business to be done today. It is 10:50 a.m. on October 3rd, 2018. The City Council will go into closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the city attorney on the following matters described in today's agenda. Claim of Bertram Jean and Allison Albert, Alberta Jean individually and as the heirs of behalf of the estate of Botham Shim Jean. The employment, second item is the employee's retirement fund of the City of Dallas via the City of Dallas and Christopher J. Queso in his official capacity as interim city attorney. Third, legal issues related to the City of Dallas's 48 inch transmission line, water line in North Irving, and that's feet transmission line, and Trinity East Energy LLC v. City of Dallas. Thank you very much. Okay, there we go. The City Council has completed its closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act. And at 11:47 a.m. on October 3rd, we have returned to open session. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.